We bless the Lord. We praise God. We're back again. Amen. Amen. Just another day that the Lord has kept us. Amen. Amen. Just another day that God has done great things in our lives. And we're grateful for the things that he's done. Amen. Amen. He's kept us through some things. And the good thing about the Lord, he said he didn't bring us this far to leave us. And he hadn't forgotten about us. No matter what we think or how we've been, God has still been good to us. Amen. And I tell you, there have been some life-changing issues that has taken place since the last time I've been here, you know, with me. But I thank God that God was able and he brought me out. Amen? Last year I was here, I was a working man. Amen? Now I'm a retired man. I've retired after 38 years of government service, and the Lord has blessed me. Amen, and I'm just satisfied with what God has done. And also, back in August last year, I had two strokes. And one, a major stroke and a mild stroke, but the Lord brought me out. Amen? Look what God can do. Amen. I'm blessed of the Lord. Amen, that the Lord has brought me out. I have somebody wonderful I want you to meet. I brought a good friend of mine with us this time, Miss Evelyn Wills. But there's a special person that I want you to meet. Come here, baby. Yes. This is my grandbaby. Amen. Amen. This is my one and only grandbaby. This is my baby. That's my grandbaby. That's my one and only grandbaby. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless us. Her father's in Detroit this week. He do mind dancing, so he's dancing in Detroit this week. And so we're stuck with the grandbaby. Amen. But I praise God that the Lord is blessing us, and I'm just excited. Amen. Amen. Over the past years, we've noticed something, and there's been a trend. There's been some things that's been going on in the lives of Christians. We've been, not that it's just started, but it's constantly being a thing where we're running into trials and things in our lives. Things are just happening, amen, in our lives that sometimes they put us in such trauma that we sometimes don't think that we're going to recover. Amen. They're so hard, and it seems like the more we push forward, amen, the more we push into it, it seems like the trials get harder and harder. But I'm here to convince you today, or to let you know, that God hasn't forgotten about us. Amen. That the Lord hasn't forgotten about us. I want to talk today from a familiar passage of Scripture today. We want to talk about something that I think all of us have heard one time or another, preached or taught, or it was something that was given to us as children. Some of us went through it, and we were taught these things in Vacation Bible School, and we've heard of these things. We've even seen it on the History Channel, how the History Channel has tried to convince us that it really didn't happen, that there was just a vapor lock. And so when I saw that on TV, I said, I said, so they're telling me that the scripture is not true, that they were just caught in a vapor lock, and that's how they was able to survive. But how many know that the Lord can do anything but fail? Amen. Amen? We were taught in Vacation Bible School, our scripture is going to come from Daniel this morning, Daniel, the third chapter. We're going to be reading 13 through 18. And after we have the scripture, then we'll get right into the message. And I won't wear your patience. I'll let you go and enjoy your day. Amen? We're going to go through the lesson. But I want you to know that there is help in the midst of our trouble. Daniel, the third chapter, verse 13. and we're going to read 13 through 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harps, lyre, and psaltery, and simony, what are all kind of music, and you fell down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who has delivered you from my hand?" Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God who will serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hands. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the God's golden image which you have set up." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, out of the book of Daniel, is a blueprint, I think. A blueprint that has been given to us in time of trouble. They understood that there were times that we were going to go through and that we would have to stand for what we believe in. The enemy sometimes comes to try to confuse us or convince us that God cannot bring us through when we're going through things. Have you ever gone through some things, or have you ever been in some situations where it looked hopeless? And you didn't see no way out of the situation. And then all of a sudden, God gives you that ray of light because you were able to stand and you stood firm in what you believe. Because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the first thing that he tries to do is to convince you that what you see is not what you see. Amen? I'm convinced that this is what the enemy does, because when we look at the Word of God, and Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted of the Lord, the first thing that the devil tried to do was convince the Lord that he wasn't the Lord. Amen? Listen to the verbiage. Listen to how he said it. He said, "If you be the Son of God." Think about that now. Look at that word. "If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Amen? So what he tried to do was say, "Hey, you ain't God. If you're God, then turn these stones to bread." The first thing he wants you to do is to deny who you really are in Christ. So the trials can be so tough on us that the first thing the devil wants to do is to try to convince us that the Lord cannot bring you out. Amen? He wants to convince us that he's not what he said he will do. He will not do what he said he would do. But Shadrach and Meshach wrote us a blueprint. Gave us a blueprint of how to do what? To get victory through the flame. Amen? He taught us how to win through the flame. This story was given to us a lot through Bible school and stuff, and we hear about all the things that we've gone through. But if we're going to get victory in our situations, there's some things that we need to follow. There's some ideals that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had given to us as a blueprint to walk by. And if we follow that blueprint, you know, you sometimes you see houses. We lately we've seen houses look like they're instant houses. It's like one day you ride past and there's an empty lot. And then the next day you ride past, they have the frames of the house already up. And so you say, well, my gracious, how did that happen? I just passed yesterday, there was nothing there. Now I ride past and there's a house there. Well, in the factories now, they bring them in on trucks and they have a blueprint of how houses are supposed to be, and they give a copy to the contractor, and the contractor looks at the blueprint, and it's like snapping a floor together. And they put these things together, and they can put them up as quick as they come. Our lives, if we follow Shadrach and Meshach's example, then our lives can be as victorious as their lives were. Amen? Will you agree that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego's life was victorious? They were more than victorious in their situation. Why? Because they chose to follow the Lord. They chose to stay with the plan. They chose not to waver when things got tough. Amen? They chose to stand firm in the midst of situations. A lot of times the weight of the problem gets on our shoulders and we choose to moan and groan instead of seeking the face of the Lord. And when we seek the face of the Lord, God has proven time after time after time after time that he will do what? That he will bring us out more than victorious if we would just stand still and resist the enemy. Amen? But that it takes something to stand in the midst of trial. Now, I don't want to stand here like it's an easy task, because it's not an easy task. It's not easy. But you can't do anything unless you know what the blueprint says. Heaven knows, Tiny, you can't go out and put one of those instant houses up. I don't care how easy it looks. You just can't go out there and put one of those houses up. First of all, you got to know how to read a blueprint. You got to know what the blueprint says. And you have to know what part goes with what part to make it happen. I marvel at my grandbaby. We buy her puzzles. And she sits on the floor with that puzzle. And she'll look at the box, and she'll look at the puzzle, and she sits there and she puts the puzzle together. I said, now, she's 3 years old. I don't have the patience to sit and put a puzzle together. But she sits and she put that puzzle together. But if we're going to follow the blueprint, there was three or four things that Shadrach and Meshach, three things that they told us that we have to do in order to be victorious in the flames. He told us that we have to be different. We must be determined, and then we must be delivered. Amen? If we're going to be different, there's things that we have to do in order to be different. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, amen? And in that dream, he had no one that could tell him what the dream was about. So he called Daniel, and Daniel interpreted the dream for him. He gave him the dream, and like all of us do when we're big-headed, oh my gracious, you know how a lot of us have our own idea about certain things. I don't care if I come to you and say, turn around three times, jump up on one foot, and stick your hand in your pocket on the right side, that the Lord is going to heal you. You got your own idea. We'll jump up three times, but we'll put our left hand in our pocket because that's what we're used to. I'm left-handed, so I put my left hand in my pocket instead of the right hand. And we wonder why we're not blessed. Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar the, the vision to his dream, gave him the his dream, and the first thing he did was, instead of him building the image as God had revealed it, he goes out and builds the whole thing in gold. Amen? And then we wonder why things don't go our way. So as he made it, he set it up, and he did what he was supposed to do. But in order for us to get what God wants, we have to be different. Yes, sometimes people are going to call us weird. Yes, sometimes people are going to call us holy rollies. Yes, people are going to say, oh, that has to be the dumbest thing that I've ever seen. But I will tell you, no matter what God tells us to do, if we're different, if we do it the way God tells us to do it, God will truly bless us. It has been proven. He told us to do it the way he has written it. And when that happens, guess what? We are blessed. Let me give you a testimony. There's a testimony that says that there was a lady that had an issue of blood. But she didn't have true faith. She only heard that there was a man coming by that if she touched him, that she would be healed. She didn't have any idea that it was true. All she did was, the Bible says that she heard. Amen? She heard. And what did she do? She said, hey, I'm sick. I got to get this taken care of, so this is a better chance. I done spent up all my money in all the other places. I might as well take my shot here. So as she did, she crumbled through the crowd. She rushed through the crowd. She fought through the crowd. She beat people back just to get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. She didn't get all of him, just got a piece of him, and was delivered. Sometimes that's all it takes, is a piece. But we as individuals, if we're going to be delivered, we must be different. No matter what people think about us, no matter what people say about us, we must be different. We must not do the same things that the world is doing. We can't be identified with the world. We have to be identified with Jesus Christ, and we have to do the things that Christ has anointed us and walk the way that Christ walked. And when we do that, God will bless us according to what? His riches in glory. He will bring about the deliverance. We must be separate, the Bible says. In being different, we have to be separate. We have to be different. We have to be separate. We can't do as the other people do. How many will identify with me and say that the church is becoming more and more like the world every day? Sometimes you go to church and you can't tell whether you're in church or you're in the nightclub. Why? Because we think that I'll just say it and hope this is not offensive. Because they make it in your size don't mean that you can wear it. Amen. Because they make it in your size, that don't mean that it's for you. Because some of the stuff that people wear is just absolutely pitiful. And they wear it to church. Spandex dresses is not for everybody. Let's put it like that. Let's make it simple. But if we're going to be different, if we're going to be separate, we have to do the things that bring God glory. We have people that get the hair fixed the same way as the world. They wear clothing. They know all the hip expressions. Amen? They know all the hip expressions. They think just because they know all the hip expressions that they belong and that they are part. But there's nothing wrong with knowing the way that God wants you to go and go. There's nothing wrong with it. A lot of times our youth get trapped. That if they don't do it the way some of their friends do it, that they're not a part. It's okay to be different from the way your friends do it. It's okay to think the way you want to think. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with thinking the way you want to think. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. You have to think for yourself and not allow your friends to think for you. We have to think for ourselves. That's why the Bible tells us we must be different. It may look as though we're weird, but we're not weird. We all get trapped. Oh, my gracious. Scandal has shut churches down. Y'all know the TV show Scandal? Y'all watch TV show Scandal? There are so many people that watch Scandal. We were in church last year. I'm trying to think. I can't remember now. We were having afternoon service. And Scandal was coming on later on that night. And the preacher was rushing through his sermon so he could get the people home in time to see Scandal. If we're going to be different, we must be different. We can't get hooked on the different things. We want to do things different. Amen? We have to talk different. We have to act different. We have to be different. Some things that the Lord tells us to do may not even seem feasible. But the Holy Spirit leads, guides us, and directs us. There's been many days that you are just riding along. And as you're riding along, the Lord said, don't go that direction today. Go home this way. And when you listen to the voice of the Lord, and you go the way that the Lord tells you to go, you come and find out a few days later that there was a serious accident or there was a tree that failed. There was something that happened, the reason the Lord has directed us away. You can only be that way when you're different, when your mind is totally focused on what the Lord wants you to do and not what we want to do. Our hearts are filled with what we want to do. But the three Hebrew boys decided that they would take a stand. When everybody else in was bowing down to the idol, they chose to be different. They told the king, I won't bow to your idol. That's not what I believe in. I won't bow to it. Just because someone offers you a drink, if you don't drink, don't drink. If you don't smoke, don't smoke. Just because your friends smoke marijuana and weed, don't mean you have to smoke marijuana. Just because your friends drink and drive, don't mean you have to drink and drive. Amen? You must be different. The three Hebrew boys said, no, king, I won't bow to your God. My God will do what? My God will stand. My God will sustain me. Yes, you have the power. You know what they say? He that has the gold has the power. Just because they have the gold don't mean that they have the power. In God's kingdom. He that has the Lord has power. we can speak things into existence. We can cause things to be as though they were. Amen? I told you that I had a stroke. And I brag, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. I'm one that brags. I had a major stroke on my right side. From here all the way down, went numb. And I reached in my pocket to get my phone to call the ambulance, and I couldn't even hold the phone in my hand. When I say I'm one that brag, I brag that the Lord saved me, caused me to drive myself to the hospital. I drove myself to the hospital. I came out of a major stroke with no paralysis, none whatsoever. I could talk plain, I could walk, I could do the things that I've always done. Why? Because the Lord protected me, because I stood for him. I asked him to bless me. I went back to the doctor a week later to see my neurologist. And so I walked in, and I have to tell you, I have to show you how I walked. I walked in like this. I was happy, you know, because I've seen people that had had strokes that couldn't talk, couldn't walk, couldn't even get up out of the bed. And the doctor was so amazed at me. He said, "What are you doing up on your feet?" He said, "Where you had your stroke, you shouldn't be walking, nor should you be talking." I'm going to get mine.
He said, "You shouldn't be walking, nor should you be talking." And I was pimping. Amen? And I was walking around and I was telling the Lord thank you the whole time. Why? Because the Lord did not have to do that. He didn't have to break me. But because I took a stand a long time ago for him. I took a stand because he had proven to me that nothing good would he withhold from me if I did the things that he wanted me to do. Nothing good. And to this day, I believe to this day that nothing good will he withhold from me. Yes, sometimes we go through trials. Sometimes we go through tribulation. Yes, we do that. And it's not because we're not walking right. It's not because we're not living right. It's just our time to go through. And God wants us to go through in a sense so that he can do what? So that you can learn to trust him. And when you learn to trust the Lord will do what? The Lord said he will bring you out more than victorious. He will lead you through the valley of shadow of death. Amen? He'll lead you through. See, the good thing about it is that you're not going through by, whoo, did you catch that? He said he will lead you through. He didn't say he will send you through by yourself. He will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. That's what I love about the Lord. The Lord, he hasn't brought us this far to leave us. He's here to help us. This text is full of truth and love for us. But if we're going to make it through, we have to be determined that we're not going to let anything turn us around. It's easy for us to turn away. The trouble comes and it gets hard and heavy on us. But if we're going to make it through, we must do what? We must be willing to stand in the midst of trouble. And we must be determined. There was something that happened, and let me just tell it in the form of a story. When Nebuchadnezzar gave the decree that when the horns blew and that stuff, he meant for everyone to bow to to get down on their knees and bow. But the three Hebrew boys were determined that they was not going to fall into that trap. They weren't going to fall into that situation. So they purposed in their heart to say, I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what goes right or what goes wrong. I won't bow. Because my God has proven to me over and over and over again that he hasn't forgotten about me. This is what I know, and this is what I will do. A lot of times, a little pressure pushes us away from what God has taught us in our early days of what we should do and what we shouldn't do. What are you saying? When the bills and the times are hard and things began to get heavy on us, we're used to paying our tithes in church. We're used to giving God that which belongs to him. But when a bill comes up, instead of depending on the Lord, we will take that tithe money that we would normally give unto the Lord and pay that bill with it. Instead of standing firm on that he will open up a window and pour us out a blessing that we won't be able to receive. If we just trust the Lord will do what? The Lord will give us that what we need and more. Just this week, I tell this story. I told it in my Bible class on Wednesday. Just this week alone, I called the car dealer because my car came up and said, you need D service. I got 100,000 miles on my car, so it says time for it to go into to the dealership to be serviced for 100,000 miles. And so I called the dealership and I asked him, well, what did that service run? He said, well, it runs about $1,500. So now I don't know about you guys, but I ain't got $1,500 I can shove out. I'm a retired man. I get a check once a month. So to reach in my pocket and just pull out $1,500 that's not in the budget is a tough thing for me. Now, it may not be for you, but it is for me. And so I prayed and asked the Lord to bless me. So I didn't take the tithe money to pay for the car. I prayed and was determined that I was going to do my tithes and I was going to do what for my car. I talked to my buddy who has a car like mine and said, take it over here. I took it to this other place. They did that same service for me and only charged me $600. Almost a $900 savings. Why? Because I was determined that I was going to give God what belonged to him. I was determined that I was going to bless the Lord and I wasn't going to take from him what belonged to him because he said that he promised me. See, the promises of the Lord is upon us. He said, there's nothing good that I withhold from you. And then he said, I will open up a window and pour you out a blessing. How many of us could stand the pouring out blessing today? Amen? All of us could stand the pouring out blessing. So when we pour out our blessings, we have to stand firm and trust the Lord that the Lord is going to do that what he said he was going to do. Amen. And so then you say, well, $600 is still a lot of money. And you're right. So yesterday a check came in the mail for $420. We came from the park yesterday and went to the mailbox, and there was a check in the mailbox for $420 that we wasn't expecting. Why? Because I chose to follow the Lord. I chose to do what God told me to do. If we're determined to do what God tells us to do, when we're determined to follow the route that God tells us to go, then God said he will never leave us. He will lead us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Amen? When you're determined. That's what the Bible says, when you're determined. Shadrach and Meshach was determined that they were not going to bow before that idol. I will not go against what God has told me to do. I will not do it. And when you do that, when you say that you won't do that, then what? Then God can deliver you through victory in the flame. That flame represented a lot of things. That flame represents sickness. That flame represents death. That flame represents finances. That flame represents our wayward children. That flame represents just a ton of things. And if we want victory in those things that come to cause us harm, we must be determined that we're going to do it God's way. Amen? And when we are determined to do it God's way, and we're committed to doing it God's way, then God is going to do what? God is then going to deliver us. What I like about the Lord is God don't have no respect to person. He got no respect to person. He would do just like I went to my mailbox. There's a check in the mailbox for you too. It may not be in cash, but it may be a letter of good news. I know that some of us are caregivers. A lot of us are caregivers to sick parents, to sick family members, to elderly friends. And sometimes you just want to do or say something to ease their lives, to make their lives a whole lot better. But how many of you know that sometimes all it takes is just a kind word to cheer someone up, to make someone's life a whole lot better? I'm not saying that God is going to heal everybody that's sick, because I can't make that promise. But I can tell you that you can make another person's life a whole lot better just by seasoning your words with grace through Jesus Christ. But I do know that the Lord has no respect to person. If he'll keep me from a stroke, heal me from a stroke, he'll do the same for you. If he can deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from a fiery furnace that the devil meant for evil to destroy them, he can do the same for you. There's victory in your flame today. I'm saying to you, rejoice when these trials come upon you. Rejoice. How many has ever gone to left someone's home or left somewhere and you was feeling a little bit down and you was feeling kind of sad? And then all of a sudden you get in church and someone sang a song like my brother sang this morning. It just came and just lifted your heart right up. That's what the Lord does. The Lord will call someone to say something that just lift you out of the spot that you're in. To do what? To make your life better. You need to be determined and delivered.
As I go to my seat, there was a couple of things that I just kind of wanted to point out. John the Baptist testified. Listen to John the Baptist's testimony. They lied on me. She hated me so bad that she lied because she hated me, because I stood for the Lord. They cut my head off, but it was okay. Because why? I'm with the Lord. Sometimes it feels like the enemy's cutting your head off, but the Lord hasn't forgotten about you. John the Baptist said, just want you to know that no matter what you do, as long as you're doing the service of the Lord for the Lord. Paul said, well, wait a minute. Let me tell you my testimony. I did everything that I could do for the Lord. First, I was a mean rascal. First, I was going around persecuting the saints for no reason, just beating folk just because I had the right to do it. And then one day, I was just riding my pony, me and my boys, going to persecute somebody else. And the voice of the Lord knocked me down, blinded me, sent me down to this place, and man laid hands on me, and I began to see. I finally realized that it was the Lord that was blessing me. I finally realized that I couldn't do anything without the Lord, so I began to trust the Lord, and I began to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And as I did that, I found myself being persecuted. As I was persecuting the saints, they began to persecute me. One time they even threw me out and threw me on a pile for dead. But God wasn't through with me. He shook me and woke me up. And I moved on because my task was I had to get to Rome. I had to go to Rome and tell people in Rome about our Christ, about our Lord. Sometimes the enemy will throw us out for dead. Sometimes our trials will make us seem like we are dead. Sometimes our trials will make us seem, our financial difficulties will make us seem like we don't have anything to live for. But I'll tell you, when you trust the Lord has all for you to live for, because he hasn't brought you this far to leave you. When my mother passed, I thought my world was over. My mother was all to me. Was in a car accident and knocked her from the automobile and killed her. And I thought my whole world was going to come crumbling down. But then the Lord picked me up, hugged me, and told me everything was going to be all right. I'm saying to you today, the Lord has his arms around you. And there's victory in whatever you're going through. There's victory in the Lord. Your flame may be blazing, but God can cool the flames. Amen? The Lord can cool the flames. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Just know that he hasn't forgotten about you. Amen. We bless the Lord. Amen.